Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, psychic, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio television talk show personality. She brings to the airwaves talented people from around the world who share their insights and experiences with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna.
Hello, and welcome. Welcome to an hour of mind power. This is Donna Sebo. We are trying to reach our guest, David Mezepel, and we're going to be talking today about contagious optimism. So we are going to continue to try to reach him. For some reason, he is not at the phone, so we will just keep on moving along. And I want to say to you, welcome. I'm absolutely delighted that you have been able to join me today. And when I look at the wonderful opportunities that are all around us, it is just so, I think, exciting. Why? Because we have so many people who are daring, absolutely daring, to break paradigms. And that is something that I think is so very, very significant. So what I'm going to be doing, since we are still trying to reach David, is to, well, maybe share a few thoughts with you. And that is that you as an individual can get what you want. Mm-hmm. Do you believe that that's possible? Well, it really can. Sometimes we have to go through a lot of journeys. And I use the plural for a reason. Because many times we don't want to wake up. I think that's the term that I would want to apply. We really want to stay asleep to our own possibilities. And that sounds a little bit weird, perhaps, too. And you're going to say, Donna, why in the world would I want to stay asleep? After all, I'm not looking and enjoying these difficult times I'm going through. But I think many, many times we get into what I'll call a mind lock. And we get into that mind lock because of habit. And when I started the day today, I was reflecting on some things that I myself are experiencing right at this moment. And something really hit me right between the eyes before I came on the air today. Focus on what you want, not on what you don't want. Focus on what you want, not on what you don't want. If you are like me, as a typical human being, we'll always look at, oh my goodness, I don't have enough of this, I don't have enough of that. I really couldn't possibly achieve this because I don't have this, I don't have that. Going for my dream, well, I was told by someone that it's frivolous, so I'm going to stay right where I am. And I think of someone that I know of that has been given a working opportunity. Now, is it the most exciting position they possibly could ever get? No. And when I speak with them, they'll go, oh, gee whiz, it's not really what I want. When you say, how's the day gone? What's happened with you? What's going on? They go, well, I guess it's all right. And I say, now, wait a minute. You've been out of work. You have had things so difficult financially. You have this opportunity that was literally put in your lap for you to be able to generate an income. And you're whining. I talked to someone else. They came to me for some information, and I said, all right, you could do this, that, or the other, but if you do, you're going backwards. Look at how you can prepare yourself in a different way. Well, they got very depressed over what I said. I made the statement to them, why are you depressed over what I've said? Have I said to you, what you want is not possible? No, that's not what you said. What happened is they had fallen in love with a concept that, yes, they could follow through with it, but that concept, they were really going to find themselves putting two or three times the money out to achieve what they really wanted. And when they stated what they really wanted to me, I said, all right, there's no negative here. All you do is rethink. They didn't know how to let go of what was going to keep them stuck. Then I found later on in the conversation that there was a lot of things that they were saying they wanted changed, yet they were doing the very actions to keep them right where they were. We, as human beings, are very, very interesting. And I look at myself, and I just say, all right, when I see these things, when I'm observing these things, it's a good mirror for me. It sort of wakes me up to the reality that I have to be attentive myself. You know, I think so many times we have misconceptions about people that we maybe admire or we seemingly think they've got it all. They also have to be mindful. They have to be aware of what it is that they're doing. They have to be awake to the reality of what they are wanting to do. So I want to share a thought with you that I think a wonderful person, Tony Burrows, he put together, and he was a guest on my show. He said, how to get what you want. He said, you need to open your heart and your mind to the possibility that you are the divine creator of whatever you want to bring into your space. Now, think about that. That's a pretty powerful statement. If it's money, you can bring that money into your place, into your space. And it may come, just like this one person I was talking about, with a job opportunity. So what are you going to do? Are you going to look at it as a negative? See, we get into habit patternings, and we don't know how to let it go. And you also need to be able to be open for magic. Oh, I love that word, don't you? Combine it with miracles. Magic and miracles. The M&Ms of life. Magic and miracles. There are so many venues where your good can come to you through. My goodness, I think of how many times I have just said, this is the only way to do something. And I thought later on, boy, that was pretty dumb. The universe will bring to you, sometimes in the most unusual ways, opportunities for you to expand your own self, your life, your financial picture, your wellness. It expands into realms of possibilities that we would not imagine many times because we're so stuck with where we are. So I really think that if you want a little bit of M&M in your life, magic and miracle, sit down, maybe sometime today or sometime this week, and write out a new script for yourself. Yes. You might want to take a piece of paper and write out what's going on. Could be your love life. Could be something with your animals. It could be with the way that you're feeling stuck. It could be any number of things. It's your life. So write out what you feel maybe isn't going along so nicely. Then I want you to rewrite your story as to how you would like your life to be. And it's not just about things. Remember, you're a total package, mind, body, spirit, and emotion. What is it that you want to liberate yourself into? And remember, you have talents. You have abilities. And there may be a special place for those talents and abilities to fit. It's incredible. But above all, accept and bless the wonderful, wonderful good that you have in your life. Every time you do something, be grateful. It really does make a difference. Abundance can be yours on infinite levels. But remember, accept the M&Ms of life. Magic and miracles. And people will want to know what your secret formula is.
David is with us.
We have our guest, David Mezepal. David, I'm so delighted that you've been able to join us today.
Yes, thank you.
David, your book, and for those of you listening, we're going to be talking with David about his fascinating book, Contagious Optimism. Now, his book is written so that if you wanted to, you could open it at random to get inspired for your day. You also can just go one story right after another because every one of them has something special to say. And, David, I'm just so impressed with all of the people that decided that they wanted to be a contributor to your publication. And you are the founder and director of marketing for Goliath Technology. You've been involved with... Uh-oh, we lost him. Okay, let me give you some more information while we get him back. He's having some telephone problems. David orchestrated one of the most innovative academic internship programs that was ever created. And he said that it was so successful for students that they were going into advanced education. He's been involved with launching a number of different companies. And he said one of the things that has benefited his life, it's sort of what I was discussing with you before David came on the air, he has his peaks and his valleys. Well, if you've ever heard of anyone that has climbed a mountain, you always know you have to come down off of that mountain. So those peaks and valleys of life are really quite normal. David, I'm glad you are back with us. I also know that you're a regular contributor to the Wall Street Journal and other international publications. David, what was it? How do you think you got the optimism pill when you were born? What was it that did someone sort of paint you with it when you came into this world, or did you earn it?
Well, actually, that's a great question. Growing up the youngest, I spent a lot of time with older relatives and older family friends, and I was always amazed by their stories. I never let that go. And when I look back, I realized that all their stories had three things in common. They all started out with some type of adversity or obstacle. They all had an element of perseverance, and they all ended with wisdom that was gained and ultimately shared. And I never let that go. And then as time went on, I felt, God, what I wouldn't give to hear those stories again today. All that wisdom to me is a form of optimism, because whether it's educating me or others, it's all optimism. And that's really what happened for me to make me psyched about optimism.
Well, before we came on the air, I said to my audience, the M&Ms of life are magic and miracles, and I think optimism is really the base ingredient for that. I think that without optimism, you're going to suffocate, because when you are in a dark, pessimistic modality, that is going to literally rape you of any hope of being able to move forward. It just, you can't even breathe. I just feel it's like being immersed in a quicksand that slowly sucks you away, where there's nothing left of you. And I know that I came across an article just recently where they said some people just come into life with this optimistic attitude, but they don't know why. They say they'll see it in children and babies, and they're trying to figure out what it is that happened to that person to create it. And I think a lot of people when they're around someone that's optimistic, I'm not talking about an airy, fluffy mental fairy here. I'm talking about someone that really looks at life with a sense of reality but says, don't give up. Don't give up. Know that there is going to be a way. Know that there is going to be an answer. May take some time, but it is there. What was the most dramatic experience for you that really made you feel that this was a gift in your life? David, are you still with me? Oh, my goodness, we lost him again. My heavens, something is happening with my caller. With David Mazapel, I think he's in an area where, and he might be on a cell phone. So we'll come back with him, but I really think that in David's book, he starts off right at the beginning with the Optimist Creed. He said, promise yourself to be so strong that nothing can disturb your peace of mind, to talk health, happiness, and prosperity to every person you meet, to make all your friends feel... Hello, David. Okay, I was just starting to read the Optimist Creed, but let me go back and ask the question again. What is the most dramatic experience in your life that made you realize how important optimism is?
Well, that is a great question, and I want to apologize, by the way. For some reason, we're having technical difficulties with our AT&T phones, and I don't know why. It might be the weather here in South Florida. I've switched to a different line, and hopefully this is better.
Oh, well, you sound good.
I assume you could hear me clearly now.
Yes, uh-huh. Yes, we can.
Great, great. So that's a great question, and I appreciate you asking me that. Well, I've had really two situations in my life that would address that. And first of all was from a health standpoint. I was in a terrible accident when I was only 7 years old, and the resulting surgeries and everything that followed suit lasted about 33, 34 years on and off.
Ooh.
And the whole time I kept my optimism because I knew that every step of the way, whatever I was doing was only to improve myself and get back to health. And I'm finally at that point, even though it took most of my life. But I never lost the optimism and the confidence that I will get there. And it's sort of like studying for an exam. You know, you go in and you're studying and it's brutal. But if you look at the result of why you're studying for that exam, it makes the studying itself palatable. You just have to look at the results to just endure whatever it is you're enduring to get there. And that was a big thing for me from a health standpoint. And from a business standpoint, what happened for me is I ran this company for 17 years. We managed data centers for companies all over the world. And in 2000, as you know, the tech bubble burst and a lot of technology stocks took a big hit.
Mm-hmm.
Our company supported many of those data centers for those technology companies. So we got slammed when that happened. And instead of saying, okay, we're going to close our doors and fold up, we had to reevaluate. So what we did was we, again, looked at it from an opportunist standpoint, a contrarian standpoint, and essentially we decided that we're going to go out into other sectors, emerging markets, and we're going to give credit to these companies to have them give us a try. We literally were handing out money, credit memos, to all these industries, all these blue-chip companies, and said, look, no risk, give us a try, here's some credit to do it. If you don't like us, just walk away. And because we did that, we grew stronger than we were before. And I realized that being an optimist, being a contrarian, and finding opportunity in every quandary is really what success is about. And when you combine that reality with the effort and the optimism, that's when it happens. And I've been strong, very strong, ever since then on this topic.
Let's talk about a subject, talent. You wrote an article in the book, and again, your book, Contagious Optimism, has a number of different submissions by experts in their own particular arenas, and it all relates to the power of the self. But you talk about talent building, and you made a point that you know for certain with anyone that they can be 100% successful in whatever it is they want to do. And there's no secret or special formula for building talent, and there's no right place at the right time luck that's required. Let's talk about that for a minute.
Sure. Well, that's I appreciate that you read that, and I feel very strongly about it. And the reason I do is that so many people, when they're trying to be good at something, whether it's a sport, a relationship, business, or anything else, so many people say, oh, I was in the wrong place. I was in the wrong place at the wrong time, or the person who's successful at it was in the right place at the right time, or you hear the grass is always greener. Well, sure, some people, those things happen. Some people are born into the right family. Some people are naturally athletic in certain sports, whatever it may be. But it doesn't mean you can't get there as well. You have to practice. You have to be positive. You have to look at the goal and then work your way towards it. And I believe everybody has that opportunity. You know, I've grown up with a lot of people around me that were envious or jealous of others, but they didn't realize what it took for them or their family, their grandparents, their parents, whoever, to get to those points. And you just, everybody has an opportunity. You just have to work for it. You can't worry about other people's greener pastures.
I agree with that. There was an interview done by Susan Young with a man, David DeFrancesco. He's called the living warrior in your book. And I was quite impressed with that interview as it was transcribed, as was Susan, because David is a trainer and coach. He gets people ready to qualify for application to the SEALs and Rangers and this type of thing. And boy, that is really something. That is a very demanding kind of environment that people put themselves into. Can we talk about that interview a little bit? How did you get to know Susan? And this article, how did it have an effect on you? Why did you include it in your book?
Oh, that's a great question. So what happened was another one of our co-authors, we started working on this project in late 2010. And one of our co-authors in the New York area had referred Susan because he knew that she did this type of work. She would interview people that have very interesting stories, motivational stories, and give advice. And she does this as a business, and she's very good at it. And he thought that she would be interested in contributing to our book. So she contacted us probably either December 2010 or January 2011, and we started talking about the whole project, and she mentioned this David DeFrancesco and what he does and how even outside of the training he gives, he does a lot of motivational, inspirational work at schools, and he goes into hospitals and other facilities to help motivate people. And I really, of all the stories she submitted to us, that was probably my favorite, and that's why it's in the book. She talks to him about different steps necessary for people to get their mind, the right mind frame before they get into the physical training to get to these points, because to be a Navy SEAL or a DEA agent or CIA or any of the others that he trains for, he always gets into, you have to be in the right frame of mind, because like anything else, you could just work real hard at it, but if your frame of mind is not there, it's very hard to achieve. And that really was very impressive. That interview goes on a lot longer, but we couldn't put the whole thing in our book, but I'd be happy to send you the transcript of the whole thing because it's very powerful. It's very powerful.
It really is, because one of the things, Susan asked this question, in terms of the people you work with, what do you believe is the key to making them look good, feel good about themselves, their decisions, and act accordingly to sustain them? And this was David's reply. I found that in order to get people successful about their bodies, I had to get them successful about their minds and their belief systems. I can tell you how you feel about yourself by how I see you, how you look, etc. Your physical body is an outward expression about how you feel about yourself. And
exactly.
That is absolutely such a level of reality that it is so hard to get that across to people when you look at individuals, men and or women. You can have someone that might be put in a brown paper bag, and you look at them and you say, that is a person I want to get to know. What is it? It is not what they're wearing necessarily. It is the essence that is coming out through them, either through their posturing, through their smile. There's something there that you say, this person's in a paper bag, but they're not the paper bag. They are who they are. Who is this person?
Right.
It's just right. An amazing perception. So I really enjoyed that. And also, you have a story in here called A Mother's Gift, and I know we're going to go to break in just a moment. But when we come back, I would like to talk about Joel Heller. These stories are absolutely wonderful because they're real stories about real people in real life circumstances, and a lot of them aren't pretty at all. So we're going to take a break for just a moment, and David, you'll stay with me. So when we come back, we're going to hear more about contagious optimism. This book is about stories, advice, so that you can nourish your mind with the vitamins of other people's experiences and move forward and don't stay stuck in wherever you think you might be stuck. We'll come back in just a moment, spending some more time with David Mezzapelle, and I think you're going to enjoy what we're going to be talking about. Don't go away. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. We'll be right back.
Amino Muscle Snack Time, the chewable nutrition that feeds your muscles. Amino acids are the building blocks of protein. When you exercise, muscle tissue naturally breaks down. This low-cal, chewable snack helps to reverse that process and won't pack on the pounds. You can chew a few tasty vanilla tablets or any one of their other flavors before or after physical exercise, right before bedtime or first thing in the morning to jumpstart your metabolism into gear for the day. Convenient to carry in a purse, backpack, or briefcase, they are a tasty snack for the person on the go. Firm, fit muscles, trim, healthy body. Sound good to you? Check out Amino Muscle Snack Time Chewable Nutrition by going to Amazon.com or SquatSponge.com. Tone up, trim up, and nourish your body to the fitness level you desire. Amino Muscle Snack Time Nutritional Tablets. Check out the information and order today. Go to Amazon.com or SquatSponge.com. Order now.
Too many people become victims of frivolous lawsuits and scammers simply because they were unprepared. At Corporate Direct, we use the latest legal tools to help our clients of all sizes create a strategy to protect what is theirs. Asset protection is not only for the wealthy. Our strategies and tools are very affordable and practical. Give us a call at 1-800-600-1760 or go to CorporateDirect.com to see how we can help you. That's 1-800-600-1760 for CorporateDirect.com.
Do you have a product or service that you would like people to know about? Internet radio is a powerful medium that can assist you in reaching people who like to shop online and pass by electronic word of mouth information about you, your products, and or services. The Donna Sebo Show reaches around the world, and you can be part of that enterprising network. For more information, contact Vision Broadcasting via Donna at DelphiInternational.com.
Or call 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hello, this is Donna Sebo. For those of you just joining me, we have our guest David Mezepel and his book, Courageous Optimism. And David, before we went on break, I told you I was very impressed with the story you have by Joel Heller. It's called A Mother's Gift. This really was quite a powerful story. Will you share it with my audience?
Absolutely, absolutely. It is an amazing story. It's also one of my favorites as well because of what transpires. So Joel came home to visit his family during college and found out that his mother had cancer, and it was in her throat, her mouth, esophagus. And what happened was, throughout the surgeries and the chemo and everything else, she essentially lost her ability to speak. Her speech would be limited. So it was very, very troubling for the family, the very close family. So to see your mother or any loved one go through that is very difficult. Well, talk about perseverance. Instead of doing nothing about it and just dealing with it and wallowing in pity, she went out and was able to get children's books both to read and to listen to. And she redeveloped her speech by going through and practicing what children are taught when they learn how to speak, everything from sounds and vowels and consonants. And she continued to do this over and over again till she regained her speech and could have a normal conversation. And it's an amazing story, and I was thrilled that he shared it with us because, you know, again, you could talk about optimism across a variety of topics, sports, health, business, but specifically health is it's very important to remain positive when you go through things like this, whether it's yourself or somebody around you. So I appreciate that you asked about that story.
You have a number of poems by Karen Lyons Kelmanson, and this one I enjoyed. It was said, "When I was young, I had a great talent for bitching and moaning, lamenting my errors, lost in self-pity's groaning. And now as the leaves on my branches grow dark, the life force within me ignited a spark. Can do it, will do it. Talent, that's all there is to it." And I thought, oh my goodness, how many of us go through that? And all of a sudden there's this spark and you go, I'm awake, I'm no longer sleeping. And that brings me to the story of a woman. Her name, that's J.C. Monroe. And there's not a listener today that will not know about J.C. Let's share her story, though, because I don't know that many people really know her story.
Okay, absolutely. It's really terrific. And when, even for myself, when that was first submitted, when we were drafting the manuscript, it was like a wow factor. I couldn't believe truly turning impossible on its head. So J.C. Monroe, one of our co-authors, she writes a story about a rags-to-riches, true story, about a rags-to-riches person in England who was on a train, and she started writing a story. And she felt that her pen was taken out of her hand by some other force. And she started writing and writing and writing this terrific story. And this person came from very humble beginnings, the person she wrote about. She's going on and on and on sharing this story. She gets home. She starts typing it on an old-fashioned typewriter. And the next thing we know is the story of Harry Potter and what took place when she submitted this to the first publisher and the second publisher, and finally it was picked up. And it's an amazing story about J.K. Rowling and what she did coming from nothing, but was determined to share the story with us. And it's just amazing. And looking at today, she's not only a billionaire, and that's not what's important, But she has created something that every child around the world and every adult around the world loves and looks forward to, and looks forward to the sequels, all from this initial ride on the train, writing this down with her pen.
You have, it really is. It really is amazing. And so many times people will say, oh, you're so, that person is so lucky. I just don't have luck like that. And I go, baloney. Everyone has the opportunity to be able to step forward in their own way. You may not be written up in People magazine, but who cares? Or Time, or Wall Street Journal. Who cares? It is living your life with quality. And that brings me to a portion of your book, and it's titled Envision the Perfect Day, a visualization exercise by Jerry Herd Dutcher. And I thought, this is so simple. What a wonderful, wonderful habit this could be for anyone to develop. Jerry Herd Dutcher, who is she?
Jerry is one of our co-authors. She connected, it's an amazing, we threw a net out into our network and into the networks of all our existing co-authors, and we just met some amazing people. We sent interns into cities and towns around the world to connect with people, literally walking down the street saying, hey, what's your story? Everybody has a story. And mm-hmm. Jerry was one of those people. She connected with us and wrote several stories, and she'll be in several of our books because we have more books coming out. And I thought this was great as well. It helps you picture what you want instead of wallowing in what you don't have right now. And it builds confidence, and it's terrific.
One of the questions, one of the things she said in this visualization process, she said, let your imagination take you anywhere that it goes. And she goes through it, and I will at some point share it with my audience, but the steps are so simple. And you could sit with a journal, and you could have these questions on a sheet of paper, and then just let the answers flow through you. It's just marvelous. Another poem by Karen, it's called Regalo, and I really like this. To live a life of one's own choosing is not about the winning or losing. It is living each day for the thrill of the ride, not what awaits on the other side. Taking the process as the essence of what you do, not what happens when the effort is through. The joy of each step, the source of elation, the greatest gift of God's creation. Just delightful poetry through the book. When you put this book together, being optimistic is one thing, but the stories of these people, how did it impact you, David?
Sure. That's a great question. Well, I have always believed that we all have the capacity to make optimism contagious just by sharing our life's adventures, our successes, and even our mistakes. I've always believed that. When people have been in the same boat as you, and you know that, it's comforting. It spreads a message of hope, and it helps you to know that there are people whose outcomes you can emulate, and to know that you're not alone in whatever your troubles are. I've always felt strongly about it, and the only way I could really get it out there is to put it into a book. And that's how it's impacted me. Now, in terms of this actual project, what's really impacted me is the fact that I had no idea so many people, even today, were excited about a book on optimism, a compilation of stories. I mean, I had the confidence it would do well, but I had no idea that within 30 days of our release, we would be a bestseller. And I can't even begin to tell you the hundreds of emails, letters, and calls we get on a weekly basis from people all over the world. And that's really a testament to the quality of the stories we've received, and it's a testament to the people that are really excited about optimism. They want optimism. If they don't have it, they want to learn it. If they have it, they want to learn more. And it's just been beyond flattering, and it's been a real eye-opener for me. It really has.
Karen Wright submitted an article, and it was titled, Dead Broke is Not Dead. And, wow, I read her story, and I thought, I wish that a lot of young people today could read her story. And I think that we really need to have a lot of adults wake up to this. In that a job does not define a person. She starts her article off with, I was dead broke. Share her story, David.
Sure. Yes, she went through an amazing roller coaster ride. And you talk about something hitting you like a ton of bricks. It was just amazing. She lost everything. Her consulting business just got crushed with the market. And she had a lot of pride in what she did. And she was actually very successful. But unfortunately, like for many people, everything changed when the market for her services changed. So she had to make a decision. Am I going to be destitute? Am I going to be homeless? Or am I going to take whatever job I can to survive and just hope for the best? And she did. She applied to work at a park. It was like a $9 an hour or something like that job, versus she was making several hundred dollars an hour as a consultant. But she did it. And she was working in a park. She was cleaning up, you know, what the animals leave. She was cleaning up the bathroom. She was emptying garbage pails. She was doing everything she can to survive. But after she got over the initial ouch, the initial wow factor of going from an air-conditioned office to cleaning a park, she realized how beautiful the earth was. She realized how beautiful nature was. She realized how beautiful the people are walking around and appreciating what she's appreciating. And it really made her realize that I needed this to happen. I was getting caught up in money and success. I was getting caught up in having to keep up with the Joneses. And this hard reality ended up not being hard at all. And today, not just in my book, she's written some amazing pieces for all kinds of publications. And she helps people to make the transition from being an executive, you lost your job, you're starting over. She helps people with that based on her experience. And this is why we talk about how people's stories are so important for others. And she's a perfect example. And that's, I'm glad you mentioned her story. You picked all my favorites. It's pretty fun.
Oh, I'm so glad to hear that. But you've got so many wonderful, wonderful stories in here. And when I was introducing you, that's something that I said with utmost sincerity, that you've got a number of stories in here. This is the type of book that I think if someone had it on their desk or in their library and they're going through a funk of any kind, they could just open it at random and could pull out whatever was right there in front of them, or they can go through systematically, one right after the other. It's so important for us to remember that the human experience is not dead in the aspects of versatility, uniqueness. All kinds of challenges can come up to us. And there are those people that, like I said, may never, ever be heard on a major system like CBS or NBC or something like this. But they're living, and they have surmounted these obstacles. And these are stories about real people in real life situations. David Mazzapel, you have done an incredible job with all of the people that have come together with you. I think you've all contributed to something here that can really, really go a long way to improving the problem-solving process, the reality that we can make a change, and letting the lives of people from different aspects of life, different economic bases, let them influence us and show us that we don't have to go through mediocrity. We can step above and beyond. Now, David, what's your website? I see something here with lifecarrots.com. That's funny. Is that what your website is?
Our website is contagiousoptimism.com, but if you go to Life Carrots, that also points to the same place. And what happened was, when we originally wrote the manuscript, the book title was Life Carrots, because we thought about it as something great out in front of you that you can reach.
Mm-hmm.
But then as we started working on it and working with Viva Editions, our publisher, we realized that David Mesapel is a contagious optimist. That should be the name of this book. I've always been called that since I was a little kid. So we changed the name to Contagious Optimism. So that's why we have both websites, but they both point to the same place.
David, it's been a delight having you as a guest. I want to thank you so much. Even though we were having the challenges with the phone lines, we did get through it. The telephone gnomes didn't work out. But I'm so delighted. I wish you continued success with your publication. For those of you listening, check out contagiousoptimism.com. And David's last name is spelled M like Mary, E-Z-Z-A, P like Paul, E-L-L-E. I think you will find this a wonderfully, wonderfully positive addition to your own library, whatever you have. And it will enrich your life. David, thank you for being my guest.
Thank you. You were terrific. I really, really enjoyed being here, and I was flattered you had me on.
Thank you, David. It's been a delight. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. We're going to come back in just a moment. Don't go away. More good things to share.
We see it every day. Courts overflowing with frivolous lawsuits. People losing all of their assets simply because they were unprepared. The best defense against unscrupulous predators and creditors is a good offense. At Corporate Direct, we use the latest legal tools to help our clients of all sizes and from all over the world create a strategy to protect what is theirs. Think asset protection is only for the wealthy? Think again. Our Cover Your Assets strategies and tools are very affordable and practical. Industry leader Corporate Direct is owned and operated by attorney and best-selling author Garrett Sutton. Give us a call at 1-800-600-1760 or go to corporatedirect.com to see how we can tailor a CYA plan for you. That's CYA, Cover Your Assets, with Corporate Direct. 1-800-600-1760. That's 1-800-600-1760 for corporatedirect.com.
Good health is something all of us want to have. Being aware of what we eat, its nutritional value, and how to balance our physical needs with our busy schedules is always a challenge. Amino Muscle Snack Time goes a long way towards helping us meet this challenge. Amino Muscle Snack Time is a nutritional food product that is portable, tasty, and in chewable tablet form, vanilla and honey flavors, a bonus for maintaining a healthy amino acid balance for healthy muscles. Amino Muscle Snack Time can be used anytime, anywhere. First thing in the morning to kickstart your metabolism. Take 20 minutes before or after a workout to help recover and build muscle. Take mid-morning or mid-afternoon to help curb cravings for unhealthy snacks. Weight loss, appetite control. Only top of the line and no genetically modified ingredients are used, no caffeine added. These chewable tablets can be ordered through Amazon.com or SquatSponge.com. Take charge and jumpstart your food program by adding Amino Muscle Snack Time by visiting Amazon.com or SquatSponge.com for more information. Order now.
Have you ever had a paranormal experience, such as seeing a ghost, having precognitive dreams, out-of-body experiences, or other happenings? If so, Donna would like to hear from you. She's putting together a book of 100 stories from people who would like to tell their story. If you'd like to submit yours, send an email to Donna@DelphiInternational.com. Again, send your story to Donna@DelphiInternational.com. Be sure to include your contact information as well. Thank you.
Hello, and welcome back. Donna Sebo here. Telephone lines are open, 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. Well, tomorrow, yes, we are going to be having an ET conversation. You got it right. Extraterrestrial. It's about Tom Moore's book, First Contact. And we're going to be talking with Tom. This is his own personal experience. Also, on Friday, we're going to be talking with Brad Worthley. ADD is a gift, not a disorder. Now, we all have been indoctrinated that ADD is something that when it's there, you've got learning problems, blah, blah, blah. However, Brad was diagnosed with ADD, and he said, we just think differently. That's all. So we're going to be chatting about how people's brains work differently. And for a teacher, it might be a challenge, but they're not educated in these things. So as an individual, if you have a member of your family, if you have a particular learning disorder, that's the label they like to put on you, I think you'll enjoy listening to Brad, who is a very successful man and who definitely is a demonstration of how you don't have to let it limit you. It actually can make you even better than you could ever imagine, but you have to understand what it is. Donna Siebel here. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-627-6008. I wanted to share with you just a little bit of trivia. It's about a psychic madame. Yes, yes. No one can claim that Madame de Ferim wasn't psychic. Why? This takes place in the late 1800s. The year actually was 1896. The woman is German. She had a premonition. It was published in all of the local papers of a disastrous collapse of a coal mine in Due, Bohemia. The following year, the accident in the exact mine killed hundreds of people. My thought on this is someone is able to perceive information. But remember, at that time, they didn't really know very much about safety in mines. They also didn't understand Earth structure and how, just like the stuff out at Disney World, where a whole building has gone down in a sinkhole, we don't realize our impact on our environment. And the same thing happened there. She was given the vision, but nobody paid attention. They weren't curious. They weren't willing to check things out. And it ended up being true. Donna Siebel here. I also wanted to share with you a little bit of trivia on another level, and that is about your thinking. Yes. Do you know that when you are thinking, there's 100 billion neurons or brain cells, which each fire, they talk to each other, 5 to 50 times per second on average? These brain impulses can travel as fast as 270 miles per hour. It enables you to say something, see an object, immediately identify what it is, whether it's an animal, piece of fruit or vegetable, or what it reminds you of, or just a plethora of different thoughts. The brain is an incredible organ. And one of the factors that we are becoming more aware of is how important nutrition is relative to your brain. And just as a complement to that, you need to be able to understand that your whole body is a living mechanism that if you are not awed by it, you should be. You should absolutely be amazed at what this living chassis does, because it's incredible. And I will be sharing some interesting supplemental information with you and other things in future shows. But won't you join me tomorrow? I've been so delighted with your company today. And tell your friends and invite them to join us, too, for an hour of mind power. I'm Donna Siebel. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. You're the choreographer. You're the stage designer. You're also the scriptwriter. What play do you think you want to put together? What do you want to demonstrate in your life? Only you can make that choice. This is Donna Siebel. Enjoy your day. God bless. Have a magnificent day, and we'll be talking with you tomorrow. Same time, same place. Bye for now.
You've been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. We're delighted that you were able to join us and invite you to tell your friends and family about the program. Have a wonderful day.